Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi guys, you're very welcome to episode 36 of the T's and C's Apply podcast. My name is Chelsea.
And my name is Tig, and in this episode we are talking about the T's and C's of being an arsehole. I should explain. So, we're recording this on a Monday night way in advance of when we normally would record.
It's so late and I work in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, just you apparently. Apparently I don't do any work either. Sorry,
we
sorry
have work
about that.
In the morning.
Thank you, thank you. Some of us also have to try and edit this as well. But yeah, we're recording this on a Monday. A couple of reasons why. One, the next couple of nights we can't record. But secondly, tonight, Love Island finished. So we're finishing it. We're getting it done. It's going to be gone for the podcast forever.
Until next summer anyway.
Which I think a lot of you will be delighted with. So next week, we'll be carrying on a different topic in that slot. We're going to have a round out today. But that kind of meant that we were under pressure to figure out a topic. Mm-hmm. And normally how it works is Chelsea's got her Love Island topic slotted in. So it's my job then to find something to go for the first half of the episode.
Right.
And because this was so much quicker than not when we normally do it, I had to go to the internet. I had to go to the internet and be like, I need to find a topic.
Okay.
So where do you go on the internet to find random topics? You go to somewhere like Reddit.
All right.
So I've gone onto Reddit for the first time, probably since my teens, and I stumbled across a thread and I was like, this should be interesting. I'm going to get Chelsea's opinion on some of these, see what she thinks. It's a little subreddit called Am I the Asshole?
Okay.
So that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be chatting about all the different things that could make you look like an asshole and whether or not these people are assholes. But before we get into that topic, just a quick one about our Patreon. If you haven't already checked it out or signed up to it, you can find a link to it in our bio. In this week's episode, we were talking about whether as a parent you can give out to your kids when they do something that you did as well as a teenager or as a young adult. Mm-hmm. Do you know what's going to be really interesting? In about, 30, 40 years time, all people who, you know, our age, when they get old, like the people who are covered in reckless tattoos, mm-hmm. when they get old enough that their parents and they've had, like, let's say the stretch marks are kicked in or whatever, and then they've got kids and the kids are like, I want to get a tattoo. Like, they're all going to be like, I wouldn't get one like that. No, I wouldn't put it there. And then be like, why? And like, they can just go, there you go. And
this
like,
is
it looks
why I don't
crap.
Want to get a tattoo.
So if that sounds like a bit of you, feel free to check it out. But I think let's get straight into this topic.
Hit me.
Are you ready? So I need to go onto Reddit first, because I was about to say I've already saved. I didn't realize Reddit was actually so good for these little features.
I've never been on it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones I was like, oh, that's quite interesting. So I'm going to go into my little save.
I think
files.
I've come across it once or twice when I was like doing a bit of research, but not a major like.
Okay, would you like to talk about families, relationships,
in the morning,
or would you like weddings? Pick a topic. We'll go.
What was the first one?
Family. Relationships or wedding. There's actually quite a lot of wedding ones.
I reckon go wedding. I'm intrigued.
Okay, right.
I don't know how you've come across as an asshole, but okay. I'm intrigued.
Oh, you be prepared.
Okay.
So, the title of this one is, am I the asshole for saying I told you so at my sister-in-law and brother's wedding? Okay, that's the title.
All right.
Right, here's the story. Here's the background. I, 27-year-old female, have known my sister-in-law for 3 years.
Right.
She's the type of person that always needs to be right and needs to be in charge of everything. She's very demanding as well. My sister-in-law's family members are very disrespectful and rude. They don't clean up after themselves, expect everyone to act like maids or servants around them, and they think highly of themselves. They can never be wrong and think they can do no wrong.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because of this, my sister-in-law's family don't really punish their kids. Like, they have no consequences. They aren't even like the gentle parenting type.
Oh, okay.
Okay, with me so far?
I'm with you.
Now, my sister-in-law's sister has a son and he's extremely chaotic. He throws tantrums if he doesn't get something and has to be the center of attention 24/7. When they're at birthdays, he needs a gift or opens the gifts and needs to blow out the candles, even if it's not his birthday. It's frustrating, which is why I'm not usually around at family gatherings and other stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Right. I was my sister-in-law's bridesmaid since her friend cancelled on her and I was helping make invitations. I saw on one of the invitations the name of my sister-in-law's nephew. I asked if she wanted him to go and she said yeah. She then asked why, so I told her why. I talked about his tantrums and how he'll probably throw a fit during the reception and other stuff. She got mad and said that she didn't know what I was talking about. She told her family as well, and my family and her sister, which caused her sister to write a message saying how I was wrong and other stuff like that. So she's been called out about calling the nephew out about mm-hmm. his behaviour. Well, day of the wedding comes, everyone comes in happy except the nephew. He's crying and is about to throw a fit. When my sister-in-law came out, literally, he started screaming. The poor pastor had to stop and wait for the parents to leave with the nephew.
Oh, God.
So this is inside in the church. He's thrown a tantrum, kicked off, and they've had to go out. During the after party, he was back at it again and crying. When they were cutting the cake, he screamed extremely loud. He pushed my sister-in-law, who was holding a glass of wine, and it spilled on her. Wedding dress ruined.
This is the wedding dress.
Yeah.
Well, oh, Jesus.
She started crying. She turned around to leave and looked and I looked at her and said, I told you so. She started crying even more now. When I got home, my mom called me extremely immature and wanted me to apologize. So, am I the asshole? This is a good topic. I like this already.
I don't think he's the asshole.
She, as in the girl who called out the nephew.
Oh, the girl.
Yeah.
I don't think, no, because, see, that's a hard one because like, it's realistically, kind of like, it's not her choice. I get what she was doing. She was like giving her the option to be like, look, you know what he's like. You know he's going to be very disruptive and stuff like that. No, I actually don't because you know what? She did the right thing. She said... She was bringing light to what the bride already knew. The child was disruptive. The child was probably going to be chaotic.
Apparently, but this entire family denies that he's like that. That like,
well, then they're just in denial.
They all think that they're all perfect. They don't make mistakes. But clearly, like, they're in so much denial about the kid's behavior.
I think she went about it the right way. The fact that she said, like, oh, you know, are you sure you want him there? Like, he is probably going to make a scene, stuff like that. I think she did it in the right way of she was giving the bride the option to opt out of that to be like, maybe no kids. Maybe not just him, but maybe no kids or something like that. The fact that she said at the end, though, told you so. You
That's
can clearly
a bit like...
see the fact that you can see her wedding dress has been ruined. Her day has been ruined kind of thing in a little bit. Don't add fuel to the fire.
Don't rub salt in the wounds. Yeah, even though you're right. Even
you know you're right. That's all that matters. You know you're right, but you don't need to make a point to the bride that you were right. Just leave it off. Just do your job of the sister-in-law or whatever you are, the bridesmaid, and just help her and try and fix the problem. I get what you're saying. You were right in the sense of, well, I did tell you, I'm not going to deal with it. But on her wedding day, don't make, like Tyke said, don't rub it in. I wouldn't call her an asshole though. That's a bit of a stretch.
You know, the thing is,
she was only doing the right thing. Like, wrong, no, she's like, not. She was just looking out for her.
You need someone that's outside the box to be like, yeah, look, you might want to think about this thing. Because sometimes you're just too close to the scenario to realise it.
Yeah.
Although, let's call it a spade a spade. You know if you've got like a disruptive kid in the family because it's so obvious at all the events.
Yeah, I understand that. But then also I can understand the fact why the bride would want the child there. Like,
yeah, yeah. I get that too. Like, yeah. And like, it's one of those ones. I'd love to know how that conversation was.
I think
was,
when
like,
it comes
person.
To kids and weddings, it's a very sticky situation in the sense of, like, if you're not close to the children, I wouldn't recommend having the kids there because you're not, you don't really see them that often. But if you're close to them, I reckon have the kids there, but have the kids go home at a certain time.
Yes. Look, it's one of those ones. It's a difficult one because like we've seen both sides of it.
Yeah.
We've seen the family orientated ones and then the weddings where there's no kids.
Just adults. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to lie. I personally love the no kids ones.
Oh, I mean, it's more relaxed. So more crack. I completely agree with you. It is more relaxed, 10 times more relaxed. But I would be like, you want the kids involved. Like if you're close to the if you're close to them.
Yeah, like I'd
be very much have the kids there but send them home at a certain time.
Yeah, or
that's what I would be like.
What you can always try and do is organize with the hotel that there's like a kids club kind of thing on that during the same time. See if like,
yeah, but you wouldn't have a kids club going at night time.
No, maybe not, but you could always like hire a babysitter, like depending on how close you are to where your family home is, or if people are like Airbnb-ing it, you might be able to get like someone to babysit the whole lot of them.
Yeah, but you also have
it's
to
a bit of a funky one.
Think again, like in a situation of like, you don't want to put added pressure onto parents, especially if your wedding venue is away. They have the cost of the wedding venue and paying for rooms and stuff. You don't want to add extra costs onto them to being like, right, you have to go and sort out a babysitter. Like, you don't want to add pressure onto them either. Like, but again, yeah, it's
you don't
want to
add pressure,
one.
But at the same time, it's your day, so you can choose what you want to do.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, it's one of those. I think it also depends. Like, if you look at your crowd and you're like, okay, there's a lot of young people here, you know, you might go, maybe it's easier for us not to have kids. If it's a much older crowd, let's say you've got lots of aunts and uncles and their nieces and nephews might be there or whatever. You're like, well, do you know what? Look, you know, it'll be a nice family thing. It just depends on what you want.
Yeah, it depends.
But I wouldn't think she's an asshole there.
No, I don't think she is.
The only thing I would have done differently, like you said, is on the day when her dress had been ruined and all that, instead of being like, I told you so, I'd have just said it with my eyes. Just kind of...
Yeah, just give the look. Well, I mean... Don't say the words. Give the gesture, but don't say the words. Yeah. Don't add to it, like.
Yeah, so, that's an interesting one. Right. Am I the asshole for not caring for a child I said I wouldn't care for?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah, we're going there. So this one is very interesting. I, 28-year-old female, am child-free.
Okay.
I don't even really like kids. And my sister, who's 23, has a kid. And because it's pretty close... knit family, she's pretty used to everyone pitching in to help.
Fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
She said she was going out for a few hours and was stopping at my house to pick up a package delivered to me by mistake. We have very similar street numbers and street names, so that's why it got dropped there, apparently. When my sister got to the house, she put down her kid and said, thanks for watching him, by the way. I asked her what she was talking about, and she said, thanks for watching my kid as well. And she said, I never agreed to watching your kid and I was not okay with her doing that. And she was like, well, we're sisters, family helps family, and ended up just leaving.
What?
Okay. So her younger sisters just rocked up,
dumped the kid and left.
Collected a package and just went, yeah, you can mind them for a few hours. No hassle. Like, you'd be fine. And she's like, I never volunteered. It's like, yeah, but like, we're family. Okay. So... she said, I didn't agree to look after the kid, so I didn't. I left the kid right in the entryway where my sister left him and just went about my day. I didn't leave the house or anything, but I said I'm not babysitting, and I wasn't. She got mad when she came to collect him 4 hours later when the kid had a full diaper and was crying as soon as he saw her.
So this is a baby?
This is a baby, okay? I told her I wasn't going to watch her kid, and she's lucky I didn't call the police, but my sister said not wanting to babysit doesn't mean you don't do it. Okay, the entire family sided with my sister and said she's cutting me off until I apologize and make more of an effort with my nephew. I've gotten nasty messages from relatives galore, and the only one who doesn't think me a raging bitch is my dad, who doesn't get involved in all the family drama. I do love my sister and understand family is family, but am I really the asshole for not doing a job I told her I didn't want to do?
Again, sticky situation here. I completely know she's not an asshole, but no, hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. She's not an asshole. I get the point that she was trying to make to the sister, but you don't leave a child there. You don't abandon the child. It's not the child's fault. The child didn't ask to be dumped there. The child didn't want to be there. The child didn't ask to be taken care of by the auntie. Don't make the child suffer for what your sister's done. I'm not okay with that. I get the point that she's making, but the fact that she left the child there for the entire time the sister was gone, the child had a dirty, like a full nappy, could have been starving. No. The child was probably crying the entire time.
Oh,
I'd
imagine so.
That's not okay. I'm sorry. I get the point you were trying to make. I get it. Why are you making the child suffer? The child didn't ask for it. The child didn't ask to be left there. I'm not okay with that.
I think they're both arseholes.
They're both arseholes, but yeah, I completely agree. You should never assume just because you're family members and just because whatever that you're just going to be like, oh yeah, here's my child, take care of them. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. You ask the person if they're available or are they free or can they look out. That person might have plans. You don't just assume. That's a asshole move to do that to your family members.
100%.
But no, in that case, the fact that she left the child there, I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
No, it's not the child's fault.
I think the mother was wrong in the first place.
Mother was way off, yeah.
I would say something. If it was like an emergency, I'd be like, I can understand giving him enough notice. But that one was just like, you'll be fine for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I would have gone about it in a different way. Like you said, I wouldn't have just abandoned the baby there in the hallway.
Yeah, it's not the baby's
fault. The other side of it is, if you're not a baby person, like you might just be like, what do I do with this?
And if you don't leave the baby in the porch.
I know,
like.
I wouldn't leave him in the hallway. Like, I'd be like, at least take him into wherever you're working, carry him out with you. I can weirdly get over the whole not changing the diaper thing because, like, if you're not a baby person and you're not around babies a lot, you might not necessarily know that they have a full diaper.
Okay, that's fair.
But at the same time, you can't just leave him in the hallway.
You can't just abandon a baby, like, you can't. I'm sorry. No. That doesn't sit right with me, like.
Yeah, don't abandon a baby. But you could have all the right in the world to absolutely bollock your sister.
Yeah, you can be as annoyed as hell and give the sister all the stick in the world, but don't punish the child. Mm. It's not the baby's fault that he or she was left there. She didn't ask to be left there.
What do you think of the dad? The dad.
I agree with the dad.
I'm not getting involved in this drama.
Yeah.
I'm still chatting about my daughters.
Yeah,
100%. I like that.
He's just not getting involved.
We're still all related, lads. We're going to have to do something about it.
Exactly.
So yeah, interesting one. Yeah, you're both arseholes.
Both arseholes.
Right, so we've done a family one, a wedding one. I mean, there's a boyfriend one next, and we'll probably loop back around.
Okay.
So that was kind of when I noticed this whole thread, that was the same kind of stuff that kept coming up. It was weddings, boyfriends, and family, just consistently. Like, you could just tell. Right, this one's called, Am I the Asshole for Leaving the Restaurant After My Boyfriend Refused to Play for My Meal?
Okay.
It's not what you think it is.
Need a background.
It's a good thing that these all come with a story. So, I'd lent my boyfriend some money a few weeks ago because of something he needed and he promised to pay me back ASAP. He was supposed to pay me back 5 days ago, but something came up and he didn't. I tried to be patient. Yesterday, we had planned to go out with some friends at night for dinner. Yesterday, after I came home from work, I was robbed on the bus and had all my money and cards stolen. I cancelled my cards, but the bank customer service told me my new cards with my new details, both physical card and the digital one that you use on Apple Pay, wouldn't be available until at least the following day because the banks were closed that afternoon, so she had no money.
Fair.
When we went to dinner with my boyfriend and friends, I told my boyfriend if he could just pay me back the money or at least pay for my meal since I had no money. He didn't exactly say yes or no, just a simple, don't worry. As we ordered, he only ordered for himself and told me that he can't cover for mine at the moment, so I better not order anything and just have some bits from his meal. Oh, the face already, look at that. I was so mad and frustrated because he had promised to give me back the money. He then claimed something came up and couldn't give them back, but then was happy enough to order himself a nice meal for himself. Just for me to have the scrapes off the side of it. Okay. I'd be the only one sitting there with no meal in front of me. I said, this is ridiculous. And I got up and left. Our friends now believe it was very low of me to get up and leave and how I should just be polite and stay there. I can't quite understand that logic, but is there a way that I am the asshole?
No, she's not.
There's so many parts to this, isn't there?
She's not. Like, I... Okay. No, I don't know. I was going to break it down. No, because that was definitely embarrassing for her.
Oh, God, yeah.
To have sat there and been like, okay, we've arranged to come out for dinner with our friends. I genuinely can't pay for my food. Can you pay for it? And he's like, no, you can just have my scraps. And the fact that it was like, he knew like straight well that she had no money, like...
Yeah,
he would have got it back or whatever, or the fact that he that
further so down.
It's a really awkward situation because I don't know. See,
well, I'm going to add some more details.
I don't know.
To this.
Do you get me?
There's more details to this because I was like, I need to find out a little bit more because I was like, I've got questions myself. So one was it like, did she tell the boyfriend about whether she had her cards and stuff stolen? Did the friends at the table know? And the person who posted was like, they all knew because it was something that we discussed at the start before ordering.
Mm.
Right?
So he was aware.
This is my take on this, right? One, fair enough, I think the fact that she had all her cards stolen is a good excuse for her not having any money for it, right? The boyfriend clearly doesn't have any money at the moment.
Yeah, so why did they go then?
Exactly.
Why did they go if none of them...
Now,
if he knew he didn't have money... Why did they
just
go?
Just reset your friends or say, look, just, instead of going for a dinner, can we go to the bar because we actually don't have a whole lot of money?
Yeah.
Something. Or do you want to come to our place
our
and have
place
dinner
to cook
as ours?
Or something. Yeah.
Something that would just be cheaper, more cost effective. I don't blame her in that scenario because I think she would have assumed that he must have had some more money available.
Yeah.
He is definitely the asshole there.
He's the asshole.
Right.
He should have let her know before they left to be like, look, I actually don't have enough money or whatever. Make her aware that he had very little money. They could have changed, rearranged the plans to
something.
Suit their costs. Yeah.
The other one as well, where he could have saved himself rather than going and ordering himself a meal and being like, just have some of mine. If he was like, I actually don't have enough money for both of us. Let's find something that we can both have together. And at least like, yeah, sure. It's going to look like we're both broke. But like... at least we're still eating and look, we'll be honest about the situation that way.
Yeah.
He's made himself look shocking there.
He's made himself look like the asshole because he was like, I can't afford to pay for you, but sure, you can just pick off mine. No. How about we actually order something that will tailor both of us and there'll be enough for both of us? The fact that if he worded it differently, he probably wouldn't have been as bad. But it's the fact that he made it solely about like, I'm going to order for myself, you can starve.
And
kind
like
of
the
situation.
The cheek of having borrowed money off of her and not
paying her back.
Going, well, deal with it. Like,
yeah. No. Shocker. I can't. That doesn't sit with me. If I ever borrow money off people, I get so self-conscious about it. I'm like, that's my first thing. I need to pay them back. It's
off.
On my mind. I don't care. Like, it's. I just don't care how people can like borrow money and never think about paying it back. Don't do that. But I think in his mindset, he was like, she's my girlfriend. I don't need to pay her back.
Oh.
Wrong.
Oh.
Wrong.
That's a
shocking. And if you're one
attitude.
Of those people, you should be shot because that means you're taking advantage of your partner and that's not right. It's not okay. But I think he was the asshole. She wasn't.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
I agree. The fact
here's another one for you. What about when like you see a couple out or let's say if you were out for dinner on the first day.
Yeah.
Would you expect the guy, let's say if the guy asked you out on a date as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've met the guy, he's asked you out on a date. Would you expect him to pay the full whack? If you went for dinner.
I wouldn't expect it. I wouldn't be like, I'm not going to pay for this. I would never expect it. I would offer to pay half. I would never expect, even now, I would never expect to whatever. But like, I know everyone's like, oh, first day he should pay. Fine. That's fair enough. Like, because I know that's kind of the way it goes and I'm, whatever. But I'm the sort of person I would like to... pay to. I would like if you want to pay it, fine, but at least let me have the option to pay towards it if I want to. Don't be like, you know, like don't be like, oh, don't not offer is what I'm trying to say here. Like, girls, if you're going on a first date,
offer,
don't not offer. I feel like if you don't offer to pay towards it, at least you kind of look a little bit. This is a very strong thing to say, but like a little high maintenance kind of thing. you're kind of setting the tone for the relationship, if you ask me. If you don't, from the first day, if you don't offer to pay for something, whatever it is you're going for, it's kind of like, wow, this is going to be the tone of the relationship, then all the finances or whatever are going to kind of fall on me. So I think if you're going on the first date, never expect the guy to pay. If he wants to pay, all well, good, but offer. Even if he says no, at least give him the option to be like, because I'm not being funny, you don't know the kind of situation the guy's in. The guy might not be in a situation to pay, but obviously still wanted to take you out. So don't be offended as well if they say, yeah, if you want to pay towards it, pay towards it. Don't be offended either, because a lot of girls are like, oh, I can't believe he actually let me pay towards it. Well, you fucking offered.
Right. I have some sneakily good advice here, right? Which I'll give. Like,
just don't go anywhere expensive on your first date. Like.
That's true as well.
Do what we did.
That's for another time. Right. I've some sneakily good advice here, which my logical brain thinks would work flawlessly every time, because it's almost like a tick the box situation. So you know whether the person across way from you fancies you or not, right? And I think it would simplify people's dates, because you'll know then if it's going well or if it's not, mm-hmm. right? So first off, if you're on a date, the guy offered to pay the whole whack,
yeah,
right? The girl then will be like, oh no, let me pay my bit, right? That proves one, she's not high maintenance. Then the guy goes, no, no, it's fine. I'll pay for the food if you pay for the drinks later at the bar.
Fair.
Right? So that's indicating, one, if the guy has interest.
Because
right?
he wants to continue on. Because he wants
to continue on. Now, this is where the girl then can show her interest or not. If she insists, no, I'd really like to pay my half.
Then she doesn't want to.
I don't want to go for drinks. Take that as a sign that the date's over. Mm-hmm. If she goes, yeah, that's cool, we can go for drinks afterwards. Boom. A little bit more interest shown. Now you know that things could progress.
Oh, that just gives me a flashback.
But am I wrong? Does that not kind of work out nicely? Because you kind of get the idea. And
I'm
then
having a flashback because that exact situation happened to me before.
Oh, no?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, are you going to share it with us?
Oh, cringe.
Good or bad?
I'm having a major flashback. That exact situation happened to me. I went on a date before. This is well before we met. I went on a date.
I was about to say, I hope it was before
we
met.
It was way before you met. Like, it was months and months before you met. But I went on a date and we went for dinner. Oh, God, I hope he does listen to this podcast. Oh. We went on a date and we went for dinner. That was grand. And you already know the story, but on the date, he told me that he cheated on his previous girlfriend, right? Ooh. Bearing in mind, the girlfriend, like, they only broke up like a month or two before our date, right? And I was like, oh, I'd like, do you mind me asking how? Because like, he asked me about my previous relationship. I was like, right, I'm going to retaliate the question. And I asked him, I was like, oh, do you mind me asking what happened? Like, and he was like, oh, I cheated on her. I was like, wow, okay, you didn't even try and hide the fact that you just did that. So that was a massive red flag for me. I was like, I'm out of here. I'm okay. But to be fair, I wasn't really kind of feeling it either. It was more of a friendship kind of thing. Like, I knew the guy. And came to the end of the day and the bill came and I was like, oh, please let me pay towards it, give me something, like give something toward it. And he was like, no, it's, you know, I'm the guy, I'm going to pay. And I was like, no, honestly, let me give something towards it. And he's like, no, he was like, I make a deal with you. He was like, you can pay for drinks the next time we meet up. And I was in my head going, this is, unfortunately, I'm sorry, but this is the first and last date we're going to have. Obviously, I didn't say it out loud, I guess it was in my head. And I just laughed it off. And then he was like, that's if you want a second date. And I was like, in my head. And I was just like, ah. I was just laughing it off. I was like, I can't say it in front. Like, I can't say it to his face, this isn't going to go anywhere. It was just, it was an awkward situation. Ooh. Super, super nice guy. I want to make that very, very clear. He was a super,
except
super
for
nice
whole,
guy.
You know, cheating on his
it was
ex-girlfriend.
Just the fact that he said that he cheated on his ex-girlfriend. I was like, boom, I'm sorry. That's just not for me. It's just, no. And he was just so open about it. Like, and I'm like, this happened 2 months ago? Wow. Okay. I wouldn't mind if it was a year later. Maybe you found yourself and whatever. No, this was 2 months later. I'm like, fucking hell. Right. And they were together 6 years. I was like, nope, I'm out of here. So the fact that you said that, I was like, that's exactly what I did. Like, I wanted to pay because I knew I wasn't going to go on a second date.
And then you don't feel like you owed him anything.
And I don't feel like I owed him anything. I felt awful. The next day, when I messaged him to tell him, like, I'm really, really sorry, but
I don't,
because he obviously tried to, like, arrange whatever, like, a second date and stuff like that. And I just had to cut it straight off. I remember texting the girls going, how do I do this? I'm so, like, I feel so bad. He was such a nice guy. It was a really nice day. We had great chats and stuff like that. But it was just that one thing that he said to me. I couldn't let it go. I was like, I wouldn't mind if it was a year later. He's learned from his mistakes, maybe, but this was 2 months. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm like,
controversial question for you.
Yeah.
Do you feel like people who cheat, do you feel like they can change? Or are you someone who's like, once a cheater, always a cheater?
I feel like people can change, but again, time frame is a lot. Like, that's what I'm saying is the fact that, like, this happened 2 months prior to our date. It was still very fresh. It was still very raw. Whereas I'm like, for someone to change, in my opinion, for someone to change the way they are or whatever, I feel like they need to spend time alone for quite a while. And that's purely from my own experience. I felt like I needed to be on my own, spend some time on my own for me to change. So I'm not saying people can't change. I am all for people changing. But it's still at the back of your mind of the whole, well, if you can do that once,
will he do it again kind of thing?
I feel like you'll always have that at the back of your mind. Could they potentially do that again? If they could do that once after being in, especially if it's a long relationship that they're in, you're like, how can you do that after being with a, I don't know. That's a topic for another day, to be honest. I think.
There's that old phrase as well, and it's like, if they cheat with you, they'll cheat on you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a weird
that's
one.
That's like... That's why I'm like, don't as well, if you're with someone who is cheating on their partner, that says something. Like, you are that person they are cheating on their partner with. If they can cheat on their partner with you, what's to say they won't cheat on you? Like,
yeah.
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
That the whole cheating situation just does not sit well with me. But anyway.
Right, well, we continue with a question very similar to that one. So a similar idea, this is linked to money, going back to the family one though. So this one's called, Am I the Asshole for Potentially Ruining the Family Vacation?
Right.
So this is a simple one. My family wants to plan a trip early next year. This will be the very first trip we will be on a trip together, possibly ever. The trip would include my mom, my stepdad, my brother, my younger brother, my older brother and his wife and child, my sister, her husband and child, my stepsister, her husband, and their 2 kids.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, big family one, right? Travel arrangements have been delegated to me to find and present to everyone, and everyone wants the idea of just splitting the cost across the board.
Fair.
The family is starting to become annoyed because I have been adamant that price should be per person, excluding the children that are under the age of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Reasons being is I would be paying more out of my pocket than a 2-income household. The family trip may be cancelled if either side doesn't budge. So the question is, am I the asshole? Should I just pay the family price and call it a day?
No, I agree. You're not an asshole. No way.
It's like when you go to a restaurant.
That's bullshit. You can't expect one person that comes from a single, you know, household or whatever, has no kids, has no extra costs on top of them. Why are you making them pay more? Like,
to come on that trip.
No, no. I'm sorry. No, that's not okay.
It depends.
That's not fair.
My question would be, how much of a difference a cost is it?
I don't think that's right. Like,
if it's less than, like,
that's what annoys me. Like, when you go out for dinner.
I was going to get to that in a second. Like, if it's less than like 100, then I'm like, fine. Just for the sake of not causing any issues, keeping the peace, grand. If it's like 400 or 500 of a difference, I'm like, hold on now a second.
No, I don't think that's fair. Like,
but it's like you were saying at dinner when you were like, oh, I'm just gonna have like the main course because I can't afford to have the starter or dessert or whatever. Yeah. And then someone else gets,
oh, let's just split the
loads
bill.
Of them, loads of drinks, goes, let's split the bill. Of course, bullshit. You want to split the bill. It works out financially suitable for you.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. That's very, I've been in that situation where it's like, oh, let's just split the bill. Well, I've had very, very little compared to what you've had. Why am I paying towards your food? No, I'm sorry. No, that probably sounds like the biggest cheapskate, but I'm just I just don't think that's right.
If you've got loads of money and there's no hassle,
you can off you go. But you should never assume someone's financial situation. There is nothing worse. I've often been out on nights out. I would go out and I would have to check my budget before going out, going, right, I can afford this, this, and this. I would never go above that. And I would, but also I hate being in a situation where you're like, well, you don't want to come across as stingy, or you don't want to come across as whatever, so you're like, right, okay. And I have agreed to be like, yeah, let's just split it. And then I'm going home going, why the fuck did I do that? I could have used that money for whatever. Do you know what I mean? I just think that's not okay. You should never assume someone's financial situation. You should pay for your own and that's it. Unless you want to be nice and be like, no, that's on me. Like, that's fine. If you want to pay for food or pay whatever, but like, don't just assume someone can split the bill or someone can easily pay for the holiday, whatever, split down the middle. If you've got a couple with two kids and then one person, no, that's just split. How is that right? You've got two incomes there compared to one. How is that right? Like, no, that's not, he's not the asshole. No way. Yeah.
Okay, you ready for the next
one? I would also hate to be the person that's in charge of organising holidays.
Oh, yeah.
I am shocking.
I'd be giving myself a reduction. I'd be like, oh, yeah, it costs everyone 900 on one plane.
So bad at organising. I will hold my hands up and say, I am shocking at organising trips.
I like doing it. I secretly love.
That's because you go full agenda dad.
Oh, I'm itinerary dad. That's
yeah, you are itinerary. That's 100% what you are like.
Oh, I'd sit down. I'd be sending out PowerPoints to people going, so this is what's happening.
Yeah.
I love
that. But it's great that you are like that because I'm not. I'm so bad.
I'm slightly involved with organising a stag do at the moment. And it's great because I don't have the responsibility of like having to like make contact with lots of people.
You don't have the best man.
I have to make the little decisions in between. Yeah. And I love that. I love that at the moment. Right. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
This one is, I haven't read the full story, but I read the start and I was like,
all right.
Okay. Am I the asshole for threatening to cancel my wedding because my family were making bets on how long it would take for my fiance to regret marrying me?
Oh, Jesus.
It's going to be juicy.
Right. Okay. Background.
My wedding is supposed to be at the end of this month, but I'm planning to cancel everything and have a courthouse wedding because my cousin told me my family were making bets on how long it would take my fiance to realize he wasn't getting the good little wife he was expecting and would regret marrying me. When I confronted him, they said it was just a harmless joke and that I didn't have the personality to be a submissive housewife, which my man, like my fiancé, would obviously want.
Jesus.
My sister-in-law made a joke about making sure my fiancé didn't realise until after wedding while I was confronting them. I was already upset, but her joke just made it 10 times worse. I told everyone I was going to cancel the wedding. My family told me I couldn't do that because people would talk and my future in-laws wouldn't be happy about it. But I told them I didn't care and they would tell everyone why I never had a wedding ceremony. My parents are telling me not to cancel the wedding as I would regret it in the long run and it would be embarrassing for our family and me for it to be cancelled now, but I'm not backing down. So am I the asshole?
So she is cancelling the wedding.
She wants to cancel the wedding.
See,
and have
I need more detail. Like, I need to know what the husband, like the fiance, is saying about this. Like, because like, if it's just
he obviously
comment,
doesn't know.
Okay, he obviously doesn't know about the comment. Then I'm like,
I guess
she's annoyed. I guess she's upset. I completely get that. But I'm very much a person of, sometimes you should just not listen to your family and what your family have to say. In my opinion, like. Not like it's to me, it just sounds like a remark to me.
But they're betting, they're putting bets on.
Yeah, but they said it was just a joke, it was one remark. No,
I think they're physically putting bets on.
Like, are they actually putting bets on to be like, he's gonna regret his decision?
She made a joke at the end about, well, you know, you'll be waiting till after the wedding to show who you really are.
What?
Because. So they must obviously think that she's pretending to be
someone,
a different type of her. That she's pretending to be this whole
to capture him or something.
Thing. Yeah, the whole, I got him trapped
now.
You know,
yeah,
that
yeah,
whole,
yeah.
Oh, it's a trap.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
And they're like, obviously, you're just doing that. And once you're married, your real personality will come out.
Jesus, that really says what her family thinks of her.
Yeah.
Like. If that's her, whatever. Mm. It's a fact that it's her family saying this and it's not the in-laws. You're like, wow, that's what my family really think of me like? But then again, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, is this kind of like family banter to be like, oh, I don't know. It's very hard to pick that up in a sense of like, are they just joking and taking the piss out of her own?
The thing is, it's not
I
even
feel
like
it would be a lot more hurtful if it came from the in-laws. That's what I'm saying. I feel like you can take a bit of family banter. But if they're physically putting bets on, you're like...
I mean, again, you'd say something... You'd be pissed off if it was your in-laws doing it. But you're like, off, but they obviously don't know me that well.
Yeah,
where
yeah,
it's your own family,
it's
you're
own
like,
family.
Really?
Yeah.
You think I'm being that false and fake
Jesus.
That they haven't seen that side of me and I'm just doing this to trap them. Once we're married, boom.
Mm.
Or the other way that I would read that is that, like, in quotes it has here that they were betting on how long it would take her fiancé to realise he wasn't getting the good little wife. So maybe is he thinking that, you know, he's going to, once they get married, that she'll play the whole housewife role and maybe... Well, no, because they're saying he'll regret it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So obviously, they must think that she's faking it.
They must think she's faking the whole thing then. She obviously changed a little bit when they met and she's now portraying to be like this doting little housewife kind of thing. And they're like, that's not you. That's not you. Why are you pretending to be something you're not kind of thing? Like, and then they're like, oh, once you're married, you're just going to go back to the way you were kind of thing. Maybe that's what they're kind of portraying, the fact like maybe she has genuinely changed since she met him. But then I'm like, I feel like I've changed since I met you.
But let's call it spade
way.
A spade.
No,
though.
I mean,
both of us have never tried to pretend we're anything else around
no,
each other.
No. That's
from
what I'm saying.
Day one,
I feel
we've
like
just
I've
been weird.
We've just been weird, yeah, but we've been ourselves. But I feel like I've changed in a better way.
Oh, yeah,
but
they're saying they must think that she's putting up this false face.
Facade, yeah. That's a hard one. Because I'm like, if they're just ripping the piss over her like family does, but then I'm like, if this is a serious thing where they're actually making bets, you're like, lads, that's a bit low. That's a bit low. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a bit, that's, you know, that's your family member and you're putting bets on to see how long their marriage is going to last.
I don't know.
I can see where she's getting the whole, like, I'm just going to cancel this wedding. Then I'm like, why does she give a shit what her family thinks?
She's cancelling, like, the big event, but she'd just have a courthouse wedding. They still get married, but, like, she's
just
not having anyone
there
because it's basically an FU to them then.
Yeah, fair. I'm sorry, fair.
Yeah, they're still getting
like,
married. They're just not having a big
married.
Event.
They're not having the family
thing
members
is,
there.
When everyone well, then is going to be like, why'd you cancel the big event? They'll be like, oh, because my family were all putting bets on.
Yeah. No,
it makes them look like assholes.
I agree.
I agree
the fact of being like, yeah, do that. To be the whole like, fuck you. Yeah, fair. I'll give her that. I will give her that.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that was a close one, I think.
That was an interesting one.
The family are definitely in the wrong for putting
family
the bets
are
on.
Wrong.
100%.
The fact that's clearly their opinion about her. You're like,
would
wow.
Would you cancel the whole event? I don't know.
Let's say it's a hard one. But I get the fact that she's
as long
like,
as you
no,
still get
you.
Married, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
If you're like, well, now I'm not getting married, then you're kind of proving their point.
Calling off the wedding is a bit of a stretch, I think.
Yeah.
Because especially if the groom has no idea what's going on, you're like, he's going to be like, why are you calling off the wedding? Like, I didn't do one.
Right, do you want one more?
Go on, hit me one more.
The last one.
Right.
Because we're on 43 minutes. Right, last one for this. Ready?
Yeah.
Am I the asshole for telling my boyfriend that he needs to stop complaining if he isn't going to do anything about it?
About what?
Right.
Oh, right,
this is the background.
Background.
Okay. It's not like I give you a one line statement. He's going, oh, is that all I'm getting? Is it? Right. So I
read that way too fast. Go
yeah,
on.
You're like, huh? Oh, is that it? Okay. Yes, you are. I, 23 female, I'm dating Jake, 24 male. I am very much a type A personality. I like my apartment to be clean and organized. I plan out my days, the weeks in advance. I meal prep and I do so many other things. In general, I like life to be prepared and it makes my life easier. Jake is the exact opposite. He is not a planner, doesn't mind living in a mess and does nothing to make his life easier or prepared. This is perfectly fine with me because we are currently not living together and I figured he is allowed to do whatever he wants with his space and time.
Fair.
The only problem is that he complains constantly about his situation.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it has been really hot where we live, like over 100 degrees, which we are not used to since it rains and is under 50 degrees about 8 months of the year. Since Jake gets up early for work, he never turns on his AC or shuts the blinds or other things to keep the apartment cool. When he gets home, he complains constantly to me about how hot his apartment is. He also doesn't have an AC in his bedroom and complains to me every night about how he's sweating to death. I sent him links to a portable AC that it was on sale during Prime Week as a solution to this. Also, money's not an issue for him, so it's not a situation there. But he didn't buy it and he continues to complain. I offered to give him my two box fans that I'm not using, but he said he did want to drive over and get them. Other things he complains about are not having a lunch at work. I've offered to go shop with him and help him meal prep for the week so he has something for every day. He always says he doesn't want to. He also has plenty of time in the evening where he plays video games that he could be making a lunch for himself for the next day. On the topic of food, he constantly complains that he has nothing to eat because he is too lazy to go shopping. He complains about being exhausted in the morning. I tell him he could go to bed early, but he refuses to. He complains about his knees hurting. I've sent him some simple exercise videos he can do to help with the pain. He complains about his clothes being dirty when he wakes up. He has a washer and a dryer in his house that he could easily use. This weekend, he wouldn't stop complaining to me about these things. I gave him solutions to them over and over and over again, and I was finally done with it. I told him he just needs to shut up and quit complaining if he is going to be lazy and do nothing about the problem. Ever since then, he's been sulking and ignoring me. He said I was rude and doesn't understand how hard life is for him. So, am I the asshole?
No.
I'm 100% with this girl.
Oh my God.
I'm 100%
with her. This guy is a lazy piece of shit. I'm sorry. This guy clearly has not got his life together. He's bitching and moaning about all these things that are just pissing him off, or he doesn't have or doesn't do. Dude, do it yourself. If something's bothering you, get up and change it. This, like, that annoys me. Like, there's so many people out there that fucking bitch and moan about life, but show no way, shape or form in trying to better themselves in any way, shape or form. Like, even just bringing a little bit of structure into your life somewhat can actually better your life majorly. And the fact that he's, like, giving out about the littlest things and he's just, like, doing absolutely nothing about it.
So many of those things are so simple to change as well.
Majority of the things in that are so simple. The fact that he's no clothes, wash them.
No lunches.
No lunches. Cook food.
She, like, the whole fan thing, like, kills me as well. She's like, she's giving him fans.
She's giving,
like,
him fans for free.
No,
I don't want to drive over. Like, pure and utter, no motivation, no drive, no nothing in life.
I don't know why she's still with him. I'd be gone.
Gone, yeah. 100%. I guarantee you, if I was like that, you would not be sticking around. You'd be like, this girl has no drive whatsoever.
We're,
like,
both a little bit type A personality-wise anyway, with certain different things.
What's type A personality?
As in, like, structured, organized, kind of.
Yeah, we have different ways of doing it.
Yeah, we have things that we're
but
more.
But we both want the same goal, anyway. And at the end of the day, we both are very organized in our own way, kind of thing. Like, so I think if you have both people like that, grand. The one person, I feel like you might be a little bit more organized than I am sometimes, which is fine. I feel like you are a little bit, but I feel like I'm a very organized person.
You're
as
very
well.
Organized in terms of the house. You're super organized in terms of house needs to be clean, washing consistently done, the basket never be full to the top. Like, you are, yeah, like, on
I
top
feel
of that.
Very disoriented. Whereas I'm like, if I feel very disoriented and thrown, this is going to sound really ridiculous, but if I don't have a organized, clean home, things in their place, it completely throws me.
Mm.
And then my life gets affected by that. Does that make any sense?
I'm with you. I know
completely
exactly what
throws
you mean.
Me, like, even in work, my desk has to be organized. If that's not organized, that's completely fucked up my day.
Mm.
It's a funny one, whereas Tig is very much a person who would plan out his day. Whereas I'm like, I know what I have to do for the day. I won't plan out my day. I know I'm like, right, I've got this, then I've this, then I've this, and I get it all done. Whereas I'm sort of a person like, okay, but I have to make sure I stick in a clean of the house in there somewhere. If I get that, I feel a million times better.
Yeah.
Whereas you're like, start to finish, you have a massive structure.
I'm like, structure for the day, but I'm also like 6 weeks to 8 weeks planning in advance. Like, Chelsea will tell you, like, we sat down the other day and I was like, we need to organize all our weekends for August, September and October. I was like, I just need to know what we're doing for the next 12 weeks so that I can plan around things.
Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous. Like,
and we are booked, man.
Well, that's
booked.
The thing. And now, like, but I like that though, because then if someone comes to you going, what are you doing on this date? You're like,
well, I'm actually
busy. Yeah. I know that already. Here's what we're doing. Or, actually, we're free. We'll book you into that slot.
Yeah. I like to be very organized though as well.
I love it.
When it comes to finances, I like to be very well organized.
You're talking to the guy who has a spreadsheet.
No, I know. Okay, you're organized in that sense. I'm the sort of person I need. If I know I've got some big things, like big events and stuff like that, like if it's big birthdays or whatever, like, I need to start planning ahead for that. I need to be prepared for that. I don't like it when it comes to stuff like that and then I'm like, shit, I've got nothing for this person, I've nothing organized, blah blah blah. I'm very much it's August. I want to make it very clear, it's August and I'm already planning for Christmas.
Yeah, she's well ahead of herself here.
Like, I haven't actually started saving, but I have my folders made. It's a start, all right, give me some credit, it's a start. There's been a lot of birthdays in my family this weekend. There was a lot of expenses. But, like,
She thinks that far ahead.
I think that far ahead. And I think when it comes to planning weekends and stuff like that, I think only for you, I wouldn't be as good as... Like, before that, I wouldn't have really done that, I would have been like, oh yeah, I've got that coming up.
Loosey goosey.
Whereas now I'm like, I can look at the little spreadsheet that is made. And if someone asks me...
There's so many spreadsheets in our relationship.
We've got spreadsheets, we've got contracts. We're like fucking Sheldon and Amy fucking from Big Bang Theory.
The term spread 'em means something completely different in our relationship. It means that we're going looking at events. Spread 'em. Get out the Excel sheet.
Lads, honestly though, if you bring in a bit of organisation, it's so minor. Like
it makes such a difference.
If you just bring in the smallest little changes into your life, you'd be surprised how well your days will go and how smoother they will get, and you'd be surprised what you get done. There's days where me and Tyke would have a million and one things to do in the day, and we're two of us are sitting on the couch going, right, we really need to get moving now, and we have no motivation whatsoever, but it just takes that one person to be like, no, right, let's get up,
slap the knee.
Like, it was literally a day last week, I think it was a Sunday, on the Saturday we made a whole
a massive list
on our date night. We had a date night last week.
That's not how sad we are. That's what gets us riled up.
On our
Ooh,
date
I
night,
love being organized.
We were driving to our date night last week, and Tyke was like, right, take out your notes. And he was like, let's make a list. And we were literally, I'm not even kidding, we were making a list of all the jobs that we had to do the next day, and we got everything bar two
done
on
really
that list.
Well.
We did it on, we boshed through our things that we needed to do. We got our Patreon recorded, our main podcast. We did editing. We were booking flights. We were, you know, doing food shopping. We were adulting at the highest order. Like, we were bossing.
This is going to sound so awful, but it's so funny.
What?
We were like, that's our date night. We were like, we had a full day of like doing stuff. And then we were like, oh, let's organize this list. Go home. That night, we started the list early.
We started the list early after date night.
It's like half 10, 11. We're in bed. We're just like, do you know what we should do now?
Let's do some visas.
Let's start our visa process.
If anyone, you know, like, you see these old people right in bed reading books, like, that have been in a relationship for years, married for years, and they're reading books. Literally that night, Tyke was like, do you know what we should do? I was like, what? We should start our visas. And we were like two old ones in the bed with the laptops out.
No complaints about it. We were delighted as well.
We were so happy. We were like, we're finally getting it done. This is great. We're achieving something.
Oh my God. We're so sad.
That's us though. We love it.
All right. And on that note, let's go to commercial. Oh, you lot thought we were joking when we said we're going to get jerseys made. Boom! Check these bad boys out.
Boom!
Look at them. They're so colourful.
They're class. Love them.
They're like a 90s throwback.
They are 90s vibes. These are giving me Saved by the Bell vibes.
Yeah, all made courtesy of D'Armor Sportswear. If you want to go check out their products, you can do that. Their website is linked down below. And you can go and ask them for your own kit if you want to get something made. But if you want to see us wearing these in action, you can check out our YouTube video where we take part in Midland's Fittest Families.
Superstars.
Okay, we're not really superstars though. But you can still check it out.
You can still check it out though.
Anyway, go back to the video. Boom.
Let's go.
Oh,
God.
Right, Chelsea, my babes.
Yeah.
What is the update? The final update of Love Island.
Officially, lads. We have officially come to the end of Love Island 2022.
Thank God. I don't think we're ever going to podcast
again. It's actually made me realise, so, Love Island summarises people's summers. Like, it's the fact that it's like, just like, it's over 2 months of the summer gone straight away, just purely revolved around Love Island and the drama of Love Island. And the fact that it's gone, you're like, what the fuck am I going to do from 9 p.m. every night? Where I'm like, I can sleep now. Like, every evening it's very much like, oh, right, am I going to be back in time for Love Island? Because of the fact that I've been like taking like notes and stuff for this, I had to constantly catch up at Love Island if I missed it, or try and get home to watch it. Yeah. Whereas now I'm like, I'm glad that it's over.
Because now you're not stuck to it.
Because I'm not stuck to having to, you know, get updates for you guys.
I think they're all probably going to be delighted.
You're all probably
delighted
as well. Let's call a spade here. But no, it's over. It's done with for another year. It was a very, very good year. There was lots of drama, lots of chaos, lots of love, lots of laughing, lots of crying and stuff like that. But this week was fairly, again, kind of like last week and this week.
It was dry.
It was dry, but... You knew it was going to be dry because it was all lovey-dovey stuff. It was, we had the parent challenge where they brought in the fake babies and they had to be parents for a day. And then you had the last dates. So they all got like a really special, like extravagant date. I think they were all amazing dates. The one that really captured me was Davide and Ekansu's, where like they were like down like this massive set of stairs. There was candles all around the stairs. And it was just very intimate. You wouldn't really see certain sides to Ekansu and Davide and the way they were on their date and what they were talking about and stuff. That was all lovey-dovey. It was really, really nice. Tasha and Andrew had like a date on the beach and it was like a love heart made out of roses. And then they had like AJ or A&T or something like that, like made out of roses as well for their both of their initials.
Okay.
It was really, really nice. And their nice was lovely. Like all the dates, I'm not even going to go into it because I'm worried. There's no need. All the dates were lovely. Then we had the parents coming in. That was very interesting, I have to say now, because usually when the parents
come in,
they're
watching on as well.
Usually when the parents come in, it's all like, oh, he's lovely, she's lovely, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not in major. Whereas this year was interesting because some of the parents were very honest. Some of the parents gave grilling and I was here for it. Like,
that's the way it should be at times.
When Paige's mom and dad came in, Paige was like, oh, what do you think of Adam? And her mom was straight off the bat, don't like him, don't trust him. You know, he probably hasn't changed since a lot, because obviously she would have seen Adam in Love Island before. So like, she's basically said about Adam, I'm not buying it. She said that she thought Paige was way happier with Jax. She's kind of made a mistake, a boo-boo there. Yeah, they're all saying, which I can kind of see it, to be fair. Like, when she was with Jax, a lot of people didn't see she was a lot different with Jax. I know Jax fucked up, but I feel like she was more herself with Jax. I feel like she's... I can't see Adam
feel
Paige
like
lasting.
She ended up playing a game, that kind of thing, afterwards. I want to stay in here. Adam's
possibly.
Like a good choice.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Maybe she does, like, but I just don't... She's not besotted by Adam. Yeah. You know when you see someone looking at something, you know, like someone, you know, like they're like Davide and Ekansu, when they look at each other, there's so much passion, there's so much chemistry between those two. You can see it in their eyes. But like when Paige and Adam look at each other, it's just like, nah, he's cute, she's cute, let's whatever. I just didn't really buy it. Dami's sisters fucking grilled them to be like, what the fuck were you at?
Good.
Like, cop on to yourself.
Two strong girls in Dublin,
ask them, why did you do it? Why did all that sort of stuff? Same thing with India's mom and sister. When they came in, they were like, why did you do it? Why did you do it? You know, Dami apologized to the mom and the sister, and the sister's like, what are you apologizing for? Kind of thing. Like, the parents did not hold back. None of the family members held back. Even like Tasha's dad. Tasha's dad is an absolute hero because like he was very much. He was lovely. He was jokey to Andrew and he was like, you know, she's my princess, you know, she deserves to find a prince, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like, you know, she has, you're a good guy, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, so what was your highlight? What was your highlight of Love Island kind of thing? Like, and then he goes, please don't say Coco. Please don't say Coco. Like he was.
Oh my God. Brilliant.
He was like giving little digs like that, but it was funny. Like it was just savage. Like the parents were fucking savage this year. They did not hold back. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a bit dry. We had the very end where like they had like the Love Island ball where they get all glammed up and stuff like that. And they do like their one-on-one speeches. And yeah, it was nice. Like the speeches were lovely. They're very sentimental, all that sort of stuff. They had a bit of a boogie at the end. So I'm just going to round it off because there's no need to drag it on.
No need.
So in fourth place, we had Tasha and Andrew. They came fourth. I was very shocked by that, to be honest.
I wasn't.
Dami in India came third. In second place, we had Gemma and Luca. And the winners of Love Island 2022, we had Davide and Ekansu. I was fucking delighted.
I think everyone was. Like, everyone
I guarantee
them.
You, if Gemma and Luca won, fix. 100%.
Everyone would have been like, what's
everyone
going
would
here?
Have been like, that's a fix. There's no way, like, they won. Everybody hated Luca.
Yeah, he didn't do
it. He was an asshole. And even after the parents left, like, when the parents came into the villa, Luca's
his own
parents,
mother gave him a grilling.
Yeah, Luca's mother called him out to be like, on his behavior, the way he treated Tasha, the way he overreacts with Gemma. And then there was something that happened afterwards where he overreacted. Oh, that was it, where they had like the vote off. So when Paige and Adam got voted off, remember I said like they had to like send in a text message all Islanders had to nominate two couples where they feel like they're not compatible. So Luca and Gemma got three votes. And ooh, the only person that admitted to saying who voted for who, Dami came out and said to Luca, me and India voted for you. Right? So that set Luca straight off. And he was like, I don't fucking understand. Like, you know, me and Gemma have been together from the start. Blah, 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 blah. We're very strong. Like, he got so annoyed of the fact that, like, they got voted for not compatible. But yet that morning, before this went off, they were like, whatever happens, guys, you know, no hard feelings. We all have to make a vote. Don't take it personal. And then he fucking kicks off and actually goes over to Dami in India and being like, I just want to know why. Why do you want to know why? Just leave it as it is. You know you were going to get voted at least once anyway. So why are you taking it so personal? Well, I think it was the fact that nobody voted for Dami in India. I think that was a bit of a sour thing for him. It's like, they didn't get one vote.
For being the not compatible.
Yeah. They didn't get any votes. So they weren't at risk. They were never at risk of being dumped anyway. Yeah. But regardless, Love Island is officially over, lads. You're happy to hear that you won't hear this segment ever again until next summer. Anyway.
Well, so you're welcome. See. We'll see. Yeah. It depends on where viewership goes after this. If the sky rockets up again, I'm like, maybe we won't do it again.
Okay, true.
I was about to say, if you don't want to see the Love Island anymore,
if you don't want me to actually
anymore,
do the whole Love Island segment,
you need to get your friends
know.
To start listening from now on. Because if the viewership goes right up and people are sticking around,
we'll at least I know it's there. But can we reveal what the new segment will be from next week? Can we reveal?
Go for it.
So to take the place of the Love Island segment from next week's episode, we will be putting in a DIY segment where we give you guys all the updates and secret hidden gems about the house renovations.
Yeah, you don't need to be worrying about Love Island updates now. You're going to be learning about us updates. That's
yay!
What you're going to be getting. So it's going to be different.
I'm so excited.
We'll still be picking our topics at the start, and then you're just going to find out a little bit about what we're doing.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, that could continue on for a very long time because these renovations are taking a very long time. So you're just going to get weekly updates of me being frustrated as hell.
Yeah.
So that's what we got coming up from now on. But I suppose we better round off our podcast now, our usual.
With our...
That's a bop.
Oh, stop.
Right. Okay. So last week...
Yeah.
I extended my lead. A nice little win. Chasing Cars. Came in strong there.
What was the percentage?
81%. That's a bop. You were close behind with Fast Cars. 78%.
Oh, so close. Yet so far away.
Another couple. Tried to top the score roughly there. I think it's about 9-5 at the moment.
Right, okay.
So you have a little bit of catching up, but there is another four episodes after this.
So yeah, 4 weeks left, lads.
After this episode. Christ. So that technically means this episode plus the other ones, was there four or five more opportunities now? You could technically pull it out of the bag.
I'll try.
You be able to win last minute?
I don't know.
Who knows? But this week's topic, since it's the last week of Love Island, it's about goodbyes.
Goodbyes, farewells. So we picked the tune, moving on.
Mostly because we couldn't find songs about assholes. But
Ty was like, let's look up songs about assholes.
About being
like,
an asshole. And I was like, that's kind of a very niche topic. But goodbye is a bit easier.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give you the opportunity to go first with this one.
Might as well. Because you know what? I don't know if a lot of people are going to like this song. Because I don't know if a lot of people listen to this band. But I'm going with a song. It's about goodbyes, but it's about new beginnings as well. So it's kind of like, it's a
nice... Weirdly, I'm a very similar song.
Okay, so I've gone with Imagine Dragons, It's Time. And the reason why that song came to my head straight away is because it was one of my favorite songs from Glee. Glee is like one of my favorite shows ever. I'm big into like musicals and stuff. So this is my song for this week.
Let's have a listen. That's a good song.
It's a good tune.
That's a bop in my
opinion.
It
is a good tune. Imagine Dragons. If you don't listen to them, go listen to them. They're class.
Right. This one, the one that I've picked, called Closing Time.
By
Semisonic.
Oh, wow.
Now,
okay.
I'm taking a risk with this one because it's not massively popular in Ireland or the UK.
Okay.
But this is, they play this over in America in almost every pub at the end of the night. It's like the last song they play.
Okay.
Because it's telling everyone, basically, go home.
Okay.
So you'll have heard of it. People be like, oh, that's what that song is. But it might not actually hit a chord with the Irish or the British.
Interesting.
Okay. So.
Okay.
That look on your face is already telling me I might have made a mistake. It's huge. It's huge in America. Just... Closing time. Open all the doors. Oh, God.
The...
You've never heard this, have you?
No.
Oh,
so.
No! I made a mistake!
I don't think I've ever heard that song before.
Please tell me people are listening that you've heard this song. It was played in... a movie where Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis are like in a relationship thing. Oh God.
I've never heard this part.
Oh no. You might have heard this part. This is the best bit.
Oh yeah.
Thank God. Oh my God, I was having a moment there.
Yes, I know it now.
Do you know this song?
I've only ever heard the chorus.
Yeah. This song is actually about the guy who sings it. It's actually about his wife having twins.
Oh, okay.
So it was about her coming to the end of her pregnancy and that like it was time for the kids to come into the world.
Ah.
Yeah, and it's like, if you listen to the lyrics about like... brothers and sisters... come. So it's about like, you know, you won't be able to go into the world until, or you won't be allowed to stay here. You have to go meet your brothers and sisters. You have to go out and go to the places you're going to be from, like, you know, where you live, all that. It's actually a really cutesy song.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's what that song is. Semi-sonic closing time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know what to do, guys. Go on over to our Instagram and vote of which one you think is a bop and which one you think is an ass stop.
Yeah, and while you're at it, why don't you give it a little follow? Maybe give the YouTube a follow. We need a little bit of love and support there as well.
Definitely.
Some stage in the next couple of weeks, we'll actually get that first episode of the DIY out there as well.
So the editing is started. It's just there's so much footage, lads. Like literally we started recording all the footage from the house like in the middle of June. So like just understand there is piles and piles of footage that needs to be compiled together to make at least one video.
That's what I'm going to start doing from 9 to 10 every night now. That's what I'm going to have to do is get that in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, go give it a little bit of love. And likewise, you can tell people you can find our podcast anywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, you can find us on YouTube, Acast, anywhere.
Please go share, tell your friends or family, and like we say every week, we just want to make like a massive thank you to everybody who has supported us from day one, and we appreciate all the love and support that you've been giving us. But that is it from us this week. Go have an absolutely amazing weekend.
Go out, have a good time, and don't worry about being the asshole.
Don't worry about being the asshole. You got to do what you got to do.
Message us and we'll tell you if you are being one or not.
Oh my God, do. Let us know if you've ever feel like you've been in that situation.
We'll give you your approval.
Was I the asshole? Let us send your stories into us. We will let you know if you were the asshole or not.
Yeah. Go on, take it easy. Mind yourselves. Have a good luck week.
We'll
have a good luck week.
Go on,
take it easy. Have a good week.
Catch you next week. Bye.
1 High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.